and good morning, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. Yes, I know Laurent's looking at me and saying you forgot to turn the microphones
on.
Yeah, I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis. The late Patty Fink is at home dying from pneumonia, and
get better, Patty.
And Letitia McDaniel, I forgot to call at 6:15 to wake her up this morning because I was already on a DART bus because my car gave out yesterday on the highway. It just stopped running. It was running fine, just stopped running, and. But my favorite tow truck driver came and got me within 15 minutes. He's so good. He is so good.
So you and I both took DART this morning.
Yes, we did both take DART this morning. And
gotta love DART.
And my DART, I take a bus. The bus from in front of my house stops right behind the station. It's real convenient. It takes like 10, 15 minutes longer than just actually driving. It really is not inconvenient for me to do. But today I didn't even have to pay because the cash thing in the bus wasn't working, so I got a free ride to the station today. Our guest today is Jen Terrell. Jen, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Jen.
Jen is the Cub Scout mom. If you were in Dallas last week, you had to have seen her on the news because I've never seen a media frenzy like I saw when you got off the plane, when you got to the Boy Scout headquarters. I mean, every single television station had their own camera here. They usually share a camera, and it's one or two cameras that you had every station with a camera following you because you're a rock star.
That's never happened to me before either.
Well, if you've been paying to the news even remotely in the past couple of weeks, nationwide, you've heard of Jen.
And that's true, because Jen has been has been in the news, really been the person who has exemplified the story of the Boy Scouts. Jen, tell us how you first got involved with the Boy Scouts.
Well, my son Cruz, who was 6 at the time, came home. The Scouts did a little presentation at the school, and he wanted to join. Well, all of his friends wanted to join, and I mean, I had reservations about the Boy Scouts because I knew of this policy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 6, and he wants to play with his friends, and it's really hard to try to tell him, you know, people are discriminatory. So we went to the meeting. I couldn't tell him no. He was so cute. And so we signed him up, and I talked with the Cub Master that day, told them, you know, I'm gay and I have reservations about this. He said, you know, you won't have any problems here. And then, in fact, the Tiger Leader called that day and said, oh, I can't make it. So they had no leader. So they asked me to be leader.
And you thought, oh, great, that's just what I need.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an organization that you already had some reservations about, but could you be the leader? So you led the group for one day.
One day.
Well, you started off by doing it for one day, and then what happened?
Well, I loved it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the strangest thing. I absolutely didn't want to do it, but I fell in love with it. And I really did enjoy scouting.
Mm-hmm.
So did Cruz.
And what did you like about scouting? Before we get into what an odd organization they are. What is it that you really... What did you like about it? I mean, it sounded... Because we've talked a little bit, and you really did have fun doing this.
I had a ton of fun. It was a lot of work, of course. A lot of planning and preparation and that sort of thing. I enjoyed the bond that Cruz formed with his friends. The bond that I formed with the parents of my scouts, because at the Tiger level, that's first grade, every Tiger Scout has what they call an adult partner.
Mm-hmm.
So since they're so young, they have to have an adult with them at all times. So not only did I always have scouts, I had adults. Mm-hmm. So we became very close. We spent a lot of time together. The bond was probably my favorite thing about Scouts. You really do feel like a family of mm-hmm. sorts.
And you're from a small town.
Uh-huh.
Tell everybody where it is that you're from.
I'm from Bridgeport, Ohio, which nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
it's about 10 minutes from Wheeling, West Virginia, which some people have heard of.
It's where West Virginia has that little spike up. It's near the top of West Virginia, right?
Yes. Well, it's towards the bottom of that spike.
Okay. But there's that little narrow thing. If you just look at them, it's easy to find. So you're like just across the border from West Virginia.
Yes.
Small town. Did you grow up there?
I did. I actually grew up in West Virginia. And I've faced some discrimination, but not too much, because I've always been the kind of person that didn't really take too much crap from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never really had too many problems.
And you have a partner?
I do.
How long have you two been together?
5.5 years.
And the kids are yours, hers, adopted, borrowed?
They are, biologically,
they're
ours. Laurent
is laughing.
Borrowed.
Okay, so Laurent's laughing at me because he has a child.
And she's not borrowed.
No, they had a surrogate. They went through a lot of stuff in order to get her, and he understands that I just don't get how this parent thing works.
Get the parent thing. But you know, one thing you did say, Jennifer, it really struck a chord with me.
Wait. I didn't get the answer from her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Your kids are?
They're biologically all Alicia's.
They're all Alicia's. Okay.
In the beginning, you said, you know, you were clearly aware of the Boy Scouts policy before you let your son get involved, but he wanted to do it so bad. And, you know, how can you say no?
Right.
And I think that's a really good point that a lot of people who are not gay or lesbian, especially parents, they take total granted. A 6-year-old shouldn't have to worry about that. Shouldn't be concerned about that.
Exactly.
He wants to do this. He wants to do, or she or he wants to do what their friends want to do. So why should you hold them back from doing that? That's just something people, I think, take for granted, because, thankfully, as of now, I don't have a son. David's looking at me. Yes, we might have one, David. But anyway, right now I have a daughter. And she, if she wants to be in the Girl Scouts, thankfully I don't have to worry about this.
You do not. They're very accepting.
Yes. But if she were a boy and wanted to be in the Boy Scouts, I would be hesitant. I wouldn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the thing. And I was absolutely against it. And Alicia was like, Jen, we can't not let him... Do you think so? We actually had like this big, huge discussion about it, and I basically just decided like I had to put my pride aside because this is really what Cruz wanted, because that's probably what it was for. Like, I didn't want to be a part of an organization that wasn't accepting, and then in fact, that's exactly what I'm doing now, because I've pulled him out of Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And does he miss it?
Yes.
You know, that's not the answer he gave me. When we were at Boy Scout headquarters, I was sitting off to the side. All the other reporters were talking to you, and he's just sitting there. So I said, so, Cruz, how do you feel about all this? Would you go back into the Scouts if you could? And he said, over it.
he
was just over it at that point. And
it's been a long run.
Yeah.
It's been a long 3 months.
And it's just 3 months since you were thrown out.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go back to the story. So you joined, you were asked to do one night. They loved you so much. It didn't matter to those people in a town in Ohio right near West Virginia what those people at the Boy Scouts over here in Dallas, Texas thought. They just wanted a good mom that they liked to be their Cub Scout leader.
Absolutely. And it's like that a lot of places. I mean, I've heard so many stories, but essentially local packs and troops have been doing this for years. And it's because I think locally the majority of the people, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to find somebody to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's so busy, and not only to find somebody to volunteer, but somebody that actually enjoys it and wants to do it, that they really don't care, I think, the majority of people. So
now, Jen, in addition to you being asked to leave, Was Cruz made to leave also?
No.
Or you just pulled
him? Right now, he's, as far as we know, he's straight.
Right. Okay. So, because he's six, or he's seven now.
He's seven. Yeah.
He's seven. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as long they won't remove a kid, only because they have or gay or lesbian parent, just no. Only if the kid themselves.
You just cannot
gay.
Participate in a leadership role.
Gotcha.
As a parent.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So it's just that you are supposed to have a parent who's involved at the Tiger Cub Scout level, aren't you?
Yes.
So. Could you be involved as the non-leader parent?
Yes.
So they would let you at least come along and do that. Now, it wasn't your leading the Cub Scout den that bothered anybody. You were so active that what happened? What did they ask you to do?
They asked me to be treasurer of the pack.
And the pack is what all the little dens are made up of. They make up a pack.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked you to be treasurer, and what did you find?
Well, I found some inconsistencies. I actually got a phone call from council saying we bounced a check, and this was about 2 days after I had taken over as treasurer, and I hadn't even had access to the online bank statements yet. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know what the heck was even going on. So I dug a little deeper and just started finding a lot of inconsistencies, things that didn't add up, and I started asking a lot of questions.
Right. So you're not, even at this point, you're not really accusing anybody of stealing money, but there were there were just inconsistencies. Maybe it was just bad bookkeeping. Maybe it was, but you wanted to know what was going on.
Right. I was hoping it was bad bookkeeping because mm-hmm. that's, you know, what you don't want to think anything bad about anybody.
Right, and especially these are the Boy Scouts. You're really not expecting theft to be part of what was going on there. So you're asking questions, and how long was it before all of a sudden you were asking too many questions?
Just a couple of days. I was supposed to meet formally with council, the church representative, the committee members, and that was April 10th that I was supposed to have that meeting, and it just so happens that was the same day I received the phone call saying, sorry, you have to step down because you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you receive the phone call from? Someone here in at the headquarters? Or somebody locally?
Council.
Your local council.
Yes.
Okay.
Just so all of a sudden, because we're not saying that the two were related, however...
Very coincidental.
It was very coincidental that those two things happened at once. So when you stepped down, how did you go now from all of a sudden being the Cub Scout mom who was asked to step down to this national media sensation that everybody was talking about and writing about? How did that happen just all of a sudden? And it wasn't really just all of a sudden, but you did hook up with a couple of national organizations. What happened there?
I did. A friend of mine actually called GLAAD, left a message about what was going on, and they actually didn't get back to her in a couple of days, so she called again. And in the meantime, another friend of mine was very persistent that we have a local protest, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I was very hesitant about that also because I've never been that type of person. I've never been an activist. I've never been, you know,
mm-hmm.
One of those type of people.
And that's not surprising. You're from a small town. Probably the local Gay and Lesbian Alliance doesn't have a lot of members.
If we even have one.
How far are you from a major city?
Pittsburgh, you know, of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
yeah.
About an hour from there.
Oh, okay, okay. So they got in touch with GLAAD, and I have a feeling one of the reasons GLAAD didn't call you back right away is this isn't what GLAAD usually does. It's similar to what they do, but it isn't exactly what they do. They usually are monitoring the media, and, you know, when something on the media really just sounds wrong, they'll call them out on it. they get calls all the time from media saying, I'm doing this story about such and such, and I want to know how the best way to handle this is. And that's where they're working at their best, when they're really not working at their best, but they're doing a good job doing it, is, and when I say not working at their best, it's, you know, adversarial, when some network comes out with a show and the show is just really insulting, and they'll call them on it. But that's the kind of thing that they're known for. Managing somebody who needs some media help, it isn't what they do much. So anyway, so when did GLAAD get back in touch with you?
It was actually the day before we were going to stage this protest, and the April 10th, the day that I was supposed to have the meeting and received a phone call saying that I was no longer welcome, they actually had a meeting. They still had their formal meeting, and I actually called up all of my scout parents and still had a meeting, informally, of course, just to explain to the kids that I wouldn't be back, because I had already talked to all the parents on the phone. They were outraged, actually. And I wanted to say goodbye to the kids because, well, I care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very important for me, for them not to think that I abandoned them, for me to just stop showing up.
That's called being a good parent or something?
A good leader,
you know,
all of those
caring
things.
About what... Yeah, not realizing that the six-year-olds are not to blame for this.
Right.
Right. And the fact that your promises mean so much to them, and they're very easily let down, and I had made a lot of promises to them, of course. And I didn't tell the kids why. I just told them that I, you know, couldn't be their leader anymore and left the rest up to their parents, but... after we had that meeting, we actually finished our birdhouses. We made a commitment to a state park, and we got a grant to do birdhouses for a conservation project. So we finished out the birdhouses, and because it was, you know, it's really important. I really wanted to just emphasize to them that you finish what you start, all those things. So we finished those, and many of the parents actually joined me, and we went over to the church where the meeting was taking place, and we demanded to be heard in this meeting. We waited, I think about five parents or so, we waited for like 2 hours, and they came out and said, we're not going to talk today. We've rescheduled. We'll convene again in a week, and you know, when we get all this stuff figured out. So we were turned away, and then that's when we decided to plan this little protest, was for that week from that day.
Right.
So while they were going to be there at their formal meeting, which I could no longer attend because I wasn't a part of the Boy Scouts, so we protested out in front of the church. There was about 50 people there, maybe.
And what's interesting is, were you the only two gay people at this protest?
Actually, there were a couple of gay people that showed up that I didn't know. But they were, like, friends of friends.
But this is mostly straight people at a gay protest. Okay, we need to take a break. We're talking to Jen Terrell. She is the Cub Scout mom who was thrown out of the Boy Scouts when she found some financial inconsistencies going on with the pack. She was here in Dallas last week, but she was only doing television last week, so we had to wait till this week for her to do radio. Jen, stick with us. We need to take a break. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
KNON thanks Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or DeeyerImaging.com.
GoodSearch.com provides a way for you to support nonprofits like KNON with your online shopping and dining. GoodSearch.com offers a downloadable toolbar for searching from your computer called GoodApp, so your purchases can go to support KNON. With Good Dining, every time you go out to eat at participating restaurants, then a portion of what you spend gets donated to KNON. Registering is easy at GoodSearch.com, and KNON 89.3 is the name to enter in your account settings for charity selection. Support KNON with your online shopping and dining at GoodSearch.com.
Tune in every Monday morning at 7 a.m. to KNON's newest talk program, Jim Schutz, Get Off My Lawn, sponsored by the Dallas Observer. Jim Schutz, Get Off My Lawn brings you the story not covered by Dallas's other news outlets. Jim will be taking your calls and featuring special guests.
This is Jim Schutz. I'll be your host for Get Off My Lawn every Monday morning at 7 a.m. on KNON.
Hey, blues fans, the third annual Harmonica Blowout is happening this Sunday, July 29th, at Port David's Pub in Dallas. For this year's show, we have Delta Groove recording artist and harmonica player extraordinaire R.J. Michaud, the legendary Hash Brown Band with very special guest Mike Morgan, Mr. Paul Harrington and his band, Kent Viceroy and the Super Kings, with special guest guitarist Pat Boyack, the David Vincent John Ellis Band, and the KNON All-Stars featuring KNON Blues DJ Sonny Boy Mark and me, J-Mac, with special guest Blues Award winner and former Zach Harmon Hartman, Jeff Stone. Barbecue dinner will be provided by the good folks at Backcountry Barbecue. Doors open at 4:30 and the show begins at 5 p.m. Advance tickets are available online at KNON.org, Bill's Records in Dallas, and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. That's the third annual KNON Harmonica Blowout this Sunday, July 29th at Poor David's Pub, located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. It will blow you away.
Hi, this is Candy Markham, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Listen.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I am here in the studio with Laurent Landis. On the phone with us is Jen Terrell. She is the Cub Scout mom who was thrown out of the Scouts because she is a lesbian. And you can't be one of those in the Boy Scouts.
Can't be one of those in the Boy Scouts. Jim, I want to talk a little bit about these 300,000 signatures that you collected and what possibly legal action, if you could take, if any, or might want to take. You know, this isn't for those who are listening, this isn't the first time at all that this policy has been in the news. We had a young man on, oh, God, David, was that about 10 years ago?
More.
I think he was 12 or 13 at the time. He was for Scouting for All.
He was a little bit older because...
Was he a little older?
Yeah,
than
because he was an Eagle Scout.
Okay, okay.
So he was probably 15.
So he made some news because he was a straight scout who disagreed with the policy. He made a little news, but that kind of disappeared. And then, of course, the Supreme Court weighed in on this policy and said that they had the right to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are... Back in the news again, and it seems like public attitudes, which most things over time change, seems to really be on our side this time. Have you all discussed, again, the Supreme Court did weigh in on it already, but that doesn't mean people can't take things back, try and take it back to court. Has anyone talked to you about possible legal action or wanting to take legal action?
Well, I'm sure that's an option. It's not, we haven't discussed it yet. We've been calling on the Boy Scouts and asking them to do the right thing. Whether they have the legal right to do this doesn't mean at all that it's the morally right thing to do, like they like to boast about their morals.
Absolutely.
So we're asking them, you know, to think about it, to realize the damage that they're causing to children, and to just do what's right.
And because they do have the legal rights, some would say, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, some would say, well, you know their policy. Why try and buck the system? Just go elsewhere. What do you say to that?
Well, Rosa Parks knew that she was supposed to go to the back of the bus. You know, things don't change unless people demand that they do. The policy is unfair. The policy is wrong. The policy sends a damaging message to the youth of today. And that's why I've never been much of an advocate, because when it just affects me, it's not, it's a big deal, but it's not as important to me as when it starts to affect my kids. I refuse to stand by idly while they are discriminated against. It's not fair, and I'm just not going to stand by and let it happen. So if things need to change, it's not going to change if anybody, if no one does anything. So
and one
as
of
far
the things
as saying, go start your own group or join this, and not to take anything away from the other groups, Campfire USA and Scouting for All, and all of those things are wonderful, wonderful things, and I'm glad that they've been able to move on and to do that. I shouldn't have to. I feel like no one should have to.
Right.
My son wants to be an Eagle Scout, and the only way to do that is to join the Boy Scouts of America.
Well, and the other thing is, he was 6 at the time. You're in a small town, and the only other group, the only group out there, is the Boy Scouts and the
right.
Cub Scouts. So, while in Dallas, you might have other options. Without your starting your own group yourself, who are you going to go to? You probably don't have a campfire group there. You probably don't have any of these other smaller groups there. And to just start it yourself, well, the Boy Scouts have a 100-year tradition of, you know, all kinds of, they just have this whole infrastructure with the uniforms and the books and books of projects and other things. You could start a group where, you know, you got those kids together again and you came up with some projects to do, and that's possible to do, but it isn't the same thing. And how do you tell your kid, well, you're not going to be a scout, but we're going to do these projects anyway?
And
well, exactly.
You're right, Dave. It's not the exact same thing. For a lot of boys, I wasn't one of them. I didn't want to do it. Growing up, that's just a part of growing up as a boy. You were part of the Boy Scouts. Like a lot of girls go through the phase of being a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of boys play Little League football. You know, it's just part of growing up. Why can't my son be a part of that? A 6-year-old shouldn't have to deal with that.
Right.
Shouldn't.
Right. So, tell us how you got involved with the petition. The petition that you delivered last week here in Irving had 300,000 signatures on it. And tell us how you got involved with them. Where did that petition start?
Actually, Alicia wrote the petition, because anybody can start a petition at change.org. It's very simple. They, you know, walk you through the whole process. And actually, a friend of ours suggested that we start the petition.
Mm-hmm.
So she did that, and we launched the petition the day of the rally, which was the 17th of April. And I actually had called the local news to tell them that we were going to be doing this so mm-hmm. that they would show up.
Because mm-hmm.
around here... this story probably isn't as big around here as it is everywhere else.
Uh-huh.
I just assumed that would be as far as it went. I just wanted to get a little, you know, local attention, bring a little local awareness as to what happened, and didn't expect it to go any further. It was breaking news on both local radio stations, TV stations,
mm-hmm.
Which was surprising to me, actually. And, it just seemed to take off. I can't even explain it
mm-hmm.
Because it's still unbelievable
mm-hmm.
at times. So I can't even really say, you know, what. Of course, Facebook and stuff had a lot to do with it. You can spread the word really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I really just can't. We were like, at first we were really excited when we got 25 signatures. We thought, wow,
mm-hmm.
people are paying attention.
Right. And now, last week, one day, you got 2,000 signatures in one day.
Yeah, and now, actually, I just checked it this morning before I called you. It's up to 325,000.
Oh, okay, so you've gotten another, it was, I think, 317 when you're here, so you've gotten another 8,000 signatures. If somebody does want to sign the petition, they can go to change.org/scouts, is it?
Yes.
Okay. And being a nonprofit station, Doc over here, my assistant, he's looking at me and he's saying, "Don't tell them to do that." I'm just saying, if anybody is interested and would like to see what the petition looks, that's where it happens to be, because we can't advocate on.
Well, I can advocate. change.org/scout.
Right. No, we can say what it is. We just can't tell people to go there. So we're perfectly legal here. Okay, so you got the petition. When GLAAD finally did get back in touch with you, what did they tell you?
Well, it was a super crazy day. Mm-hmm. It was the day of the petition, and they just wanted to kind of do a little bit of, like, media training, is what they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Just went over some basic rules, what to, you know, what to say, what not to say, stuff like that. So things I didn't know because I'm not, you know, I'm not very involved in anything.
You had never been involved in media before.
Well, no, never in media, never involved in anything to do with, you know, gay advocacy, nothing. So.
And so they just gave you some suggestions how to present your story, what to say, what not to say, how to represent yourself, how you would come across best as a as an advocate, that kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay. And that kind of thing they do regularly, the media trainings. What they don't usually do is once you've gone national, you know, you went viral. And once you did go viral and you're this rock star all over the country, they started accompanying you even to help you.
Yeah, they brought me to the GLAAD Awards to speak on stage at the GLAAD Awards. That was in L.A. at first, and I think that was pretty early on, just a couple of weeks after. So, of course, that helped spread the word. A lot of celebrities signed my petition that night. I got to meet a lot of people.
Cruz got
to play. Everybody back home was super excited.
Cruz got to play with celebrities.
Yes.
Which is one of, you know, when I asked you last week, well, how's Cruz keeping busy now that he's not in the Scouts? You said, well, he plays a little bit of, you know, we go fishing, he plays some softball, he plays with celebrities, and so who's his favorite celebrity?
Diana Agron, of course.
From
Quinn from Glee.
From Glee, right. Because she played lightsabers with him.
She did. She played with him the entire night. It was so cute.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. So when you were, you went to the GLAAD Awards, first in L.A., and then you went to the awards in New York as well, right?
Not New York, San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Yes. And in between that time, we had gone to New York to do CNN and MSNBC and New York morning shows and tons of other.
So were you on Rachel?
No.
Oh, you weren't? Okay. Okay. Because I was going to say I'm jealous. Really. And what are they asking you? What kinds of things were they saying that we didn't already know? Or was this more, you know, in the gay community we know this, in the rest of America they don't really seem to, because the Dale case was in the year 2000, and we've just kind of forgotten about it. It hasn't been something since the Dale case, and that was the Supreme Court case that said that a private organization can discriminate.
Right.
Which is interesting that a group like the Boy Scouts, whose ideals are, you know, all kinds of good things, and this is one of the reasons that you care about the Scouts, because you really do like the ideals, and they are good ideals for kids, that they went to the Supreme Court to preserve their right to discriminate. But I guess most people have forgotten about that because there hasn't been a big protest about it. There hasn't, you know, other Scout moms and dads have come and gone, but yours seem to have caught on. So what were they asking you when you were on CNN and MSNBC?
Mostly just all the same questions, you know, how did this come about? Why would you join an organization if you knew the policies?
Mm-hmm.
Basically the same thing. We were just spreading the word, getting the word out there and promoting the, you know, the petition, and it's been tough. It's been tough to tell the story over and over and over,
mm-hmm.
and I still get choked up about it, you know, sometimes, but it's important to tell. So, and I think it's just the right time. It feels like the right time, and I've not been I guess, very religious. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like God put me in this position. I've been preparing for this my whole life, I guess. I have a huge mouth. It takes a big, you know, big mouth to stand up, and I just, it's been crazy. I can't even, and nobody expected it. Like you said, Glad didn't expect this. Nobody has. It's just been humongous, and it's the right time, I think, from all the emails and the comments and everything that I've gotten on my petition. It's just the right time. Everybody, like you said, a lot of people don't know about it because it's just not been talked about mm-hmm. for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Boy Scouts want. They want me to go away. They want, because usually people bring it up, cause a little bit of a stir, and then go away. And that's what always happens, and that's what they rely on. They rely on the going away part.
And what's interesting with this one was they knew it was going to be bigger than other instances that have come up over the last dozen years. And the way we knew that was I had done a story the week before about the Boy Scouts and just that nothing has gone on. And that's when GLAAD or Change.org, I'm not sure which one, decided, might be a good time for you to come down in conjunction with this story and actually deliver your petition. But I had called the Boy Scouts spokesperson, and he spoke to me once, and then he wouldn't return my call. And when you were out there delivering the petitions on a Wednesday, last Wednesday, Tuesday, some of the other reporters told me that he had stopped returning their calls on Tuesday, and they, in the meantime, had hired a public relations firm to handle the damage, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've ever had to hire public relations to handle the damage before.
I don't think so. I think they're in panicking. I think because they, I mean, I'm sure it's wrong. It's going to be hard for them to admit that they've been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the GLAAD articles said that they're on the wrong side of history,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're going to look back on that. And if they're not already, they should be embarrassed. Because this isn't, and I always like to say, this isn't about just gay rights, or, and I'm not a, you know, gay rights advocate. I mean, I am, obviously, but I'm not, that's just not what I do. This is about gay rights in response to the way my child is being treated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just my child, it's children all over. They're sending the message that it's okay to discriminate against gay and lesbian parents and gay and lesbian children. If you realize that you're gay in your adolescence or whenever, and you're a Boy Scout, they will kick you out.
Mm-hmm.
As if that's not hard enough to deal with, to then have to deal with, you know, the fact that these people who you've grown to love tell you that you're not okay.
Right.
It's damaging. It's damaging language. And like I said, whether they have the legal right to do it or not, to uphold the 12 core values of scouting, this goes against just about every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. We need to take another break. We're talking to Jen Terrell. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron had to run off. He had to go to work. That's why you haven't heard him in the last 10 minutes or so. But you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Jen, stick with us. We have one more segment to go. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Want to find out about upcoming events at KNON? Want to see pictures from past events or need information about the station? Then you need to like the official KNON Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just go to facebook.com/KNON893. It's the KNON 89.3 FM station-produced page for Facebook. It's the easiest way to keep up with what's going on here at KNON. Like us and share with your friends today. That's facebook.com/KNON893. Accept no substitutions.
KNON is proud to announce the release of Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, our latest blues compilation CD to benefit community radio and sponsored by Forever Young Records. This CD features 15 tracks and 60 minutes of great original Dallas-Fort Worth blues from artists like Tutu Jones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Colley, Johnny Red and the Roosters, the Chris Watson Band, the Two Tones, the Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone and Charlie Love, Dave Millsap, Sir Loin and the Ass Kicking Machine, Michael J. and the Paul Bird Band, and J&J and the Detonators. The CD is strictly limited to 1,000 copies and will never be reissued. Get your copy now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, Fools Records in Dallas, and Rewind Music. The CD is available as a download at KNON.org. All proceeds benefit KNON Community Radio. For more info on Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, visit us online at KNON.org. You look like a movie star
in one of them fancy Broadway shows. Tuesday, July 31st at 7 p.m. at the Skyline Ranch. Independence Program is offering an orientation and opportunity fair for unemployed and underemployed individuals or inspiring entrepreneurs. Assistance is available on energy bills with the recent copy of your energy bill. The Skyline Ranch is located at 1801 Wheatland Road in Dallas. That's an orientation and opportunity fair, July 31st at the Skyline Ranch for individuals unemployed and underemployed or inspiring entrepreneurs from the Independence Day program. It's time to go to
work. Put money in the bank. This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly, and I'm Dave Taffet. I am still listening to, with my new headphones. We're talking to Jen Terrell. She is the Cub Scout mom who was thrown out of the Scouts because they knew she was gay already, but you know, after a while, you just can't live with that. Jen, a couple of the things that we found here, you know, you found financial inconsistencies.
True.
What we found here was that the Boy Scouts weren't so morally straight themselves. And by the way, that term, when they came up with it as part of the Boy Scout pledge, straight didn't mean straight, gay didn't mean gay. It just meant... probably not having sex as a kid or something.
Right, no sex before marriage.
Right, that kind of thing. Lying is one of those things that the Boy Scouts probably... Isn't that something that you teach the Scouts not to do?
I didn't, personally. I don't know. Like, I feel... Did you say you teach them to do or not?
No, we would teach them not to lie.
That's what I taught them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's what they're teaching them.
Well, here's what's inconsistent in what the Scouts told me when I was reporting on the whole story. First, they came out with a story that I had called them, and it had been reported already in the press that the Boy Scouts could possibly vote next summer after a study that would go on for the year to figure out how accepting gays in the Scouts would affect the Scouts itself. Then a week later, the story was, no, there's no study being done despite what you're hearing in the media. And then the day before you got here, or the day that you got here, but the day before you presented your petition, all of a sudden, there was a secret committee that had been meeting for 2 years. We're not going to tell you who the committee was. There was a report. We're not going to tell you what the report says, but we're going to keep this policy in place. So they, within 3 weeks, they had three different stories. And I actually heard one other story in addition to that that was a variation of the first story, because that first story kept changing. So what's your take on their three different stories, and then finally on the secret committee of 11 secret members that we're not going to tell you who they are?
Well, I said from the beginning that I believe that they came out with that statement that they would revisit the policy change in a year at their next annual meeting. I believe I'm on record as saying I think that this is a stall tactic. I think that they want to give a little to try to, and I guess, shut me up, to appease me a little bit so that I pull back, take the pressure off. So I, from the beginning, I thought that was a stall tactic and nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they said it publicly was still a big deal because they never had said that publicly they would do that, but I always thought it was kind of a stall tactic, and then when they came out with this secret meeting.
The secret committee, yeah.
Yeah, secret committee and their secret two-year meetings, and I had asked Darren Smith in our meeting, I said, well, if you've done research for 2 years, there should be an awful lot of documentation.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that. Can you release that to the public? And he said, no, we're not going to do that. I said, well, how can 11 people decide on what, you know, we should do as an entire country? I said, I'm telling you that people want this change, and I've brought you proof.
Mm-hmm.
I have 300,000 signatures and then tens of thousands of comments, and the comments were only from people involved in scouting or were involved in scouting, you know, former Eagle Scouts, former leaders, current scouts, current leaders. So I had proof to back up what I was saying. Can you show me proof to back up what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
The
answer was no, of course.
No.
Because what you would like to see, one of the things you asked for, was there minutes of any of these meetings that you could at least show us? You know, we're not releasing anything. Can we know the names of who were on that committee? We're not releasing anything. What are some of the results of this study? What did the study show? We're not releasing anything.
Right. These nameless and faceless 11 people are deciding the fate of, I guess, all of America. And they, mm-hmm. I would feel like if they had proof, if they had studies, that they would want to publicize that, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they want to say, hey, look, we have it right here in black and white. This is why we're not changing.
Right. We've studied this, and this is what we found.
Right.
The only person who's come forward and said he was approached is Brian Fisher. Now, Brian Fisher runs a group that is officially listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. He runs a group called the American Family Association that regularly comes out with hate statements that inspire people basically to kill gay people. I mean, and I don't want to say that. I'm not going to put it any friendlier than that. He's a complete hate monger, and he hosts a radio show. And you know, who knows if they actually spoke to him? If they did, shame on them for going to a hate group and to nobody else. If they were approaching anybody else, none of the national organizations, none of the national gay organizations know about anything about having been approached. Certainly, none of the gay organizations here in Dallas were approached. So if they were studying, they were only studying from their point of view.
So that's a great point of view, huh?
Well, you know, what kind of a study is it when you don't look at all sides to something?
Right.
But if they came up with something, what is it you came up with, and they won't tell
us? Well, and here's the thing. I mean, there are lots of gay people in scouting already.
Sure.
We already know that. And they've been successful. And, you know, the scouting, they have 2 deep leadership now, which is 2 adults. I mean, you're never to be alone with a child. You're never... so even this crazy notion that they're protecting children, which is, as we all know, bullcrap, because gay does not mean pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
If they follow their own rules, that type of stuff wouldn't happen anyway.
Right.
And they, like I said, I've gotten hundreds of emails from people that are in scouting and that are gay. Kids that are gay in scouting, you know, teenagers, and they're fearful that somebody's going to find out before they can achieve their eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And
the thing about these kids is they've probably been in the scouts since they were 6. They're now maybe 12, maybe 15. So most of their lives have been devoted to the scouts, and they are so afraid that what they've done their whole lives is just going to be taken away from them.
Right, and they live in fear that, I mean, somebody's going to find out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So they are thinking that they are not valuable. They're thinking that they're not up to some standard, and that's the dangerous language that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And whether the Boy Scouts are intentionally doing it or not, they're sending a very damaging message. You can't tell kids that they're not okay, or that sexual orientation either way isn't okay, because basically they're laying the groundwork for bullying.
Right. Right. One of the things that the Boy Scouts say is one reason we want to keep gays out of this is we don't want to teach sexuality at the Scouts. And their official policy is if the subject comes up, you refer it to home, to church, or to school because they're better equipped for it. So what do you have to say to that, you person who only wants to teach sex to six-year-olds?
I say I agree. And we didn't talk about that. We did scouting stuff. One of my parents is actually quoted in an article saying, we didn't know her as gay Den Leader Jen. We just knew her as Den Leader Jen. The kids loved her. They knew that Cruz had two moms, and that's all. They don't care. Kids really don't care. And that's another thing. Like, we need to stop teaching kids this. And I say, you know, my sexuality is no more a core of who I am than it is for anybody else. So why do we have to discuss my sexuality but no one else's? It's just nothing. It's just something that doesn't come up. And it didn't come up until the Boy Scouts of America brought it up. And now everybody's had to have this conversation.
So all of these parents who were perfectly comfortable with the appropriate way that you were working with these six-year-olds, all of a sudden were put in a position with their six-year-old kids, they had to talk about sex when the Boy Scouts brought it up.
Right. The Boy Scouts, it never came up.
Did any of the parents, I'm just curious, did any of the parents call you and say, my kid just brought up, what? Do you have any suggestions how I even approach this subject with them?
No.
Oh, okay.
It just doesn't come up. And kids are very accepting. And when I said, you know, Cruz had two moms because they, you know, Alicia would come to, like, special events and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And who's that? And I would say, that's Cruz's mom. I thought you were Cruz's mom. I said, Cruz has two moms. Oh, okay. When's snack time? Like, they really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only taught to care, and they're only taught to hate and discriminate when adults teach them to.
You had one parent in your group that you called a right-wing NRA rifle-toting Bubba, basically, and he's one of your biggest supporters.
He is.
Tell me about him.
He's, well, his son was obviously in my pack, and we just, you know, went along our business, and when this whole thing came up, he sent me a text message and said, I want to apologize for the way I used to feel about gay people, and thank you for bringing awareness to my prejudice. He said he was embarrassed the way he used to feel about gay people, and
but he didn't threaten to take his kid out of your troop, did he, or out of your den?
Because I was gay.
Yeah.
No.
But maybe he
and
was thinking about it.
And he got to know me. Mm-hmm. He got to know me, and we're friends now. And actually, he has since pulled his son out because he doesn't want his son to be a part of an organization that treats people that way.
Hmm.
And actually, yeah. I went to church with him a few weeks ago, and they were very accepting, very nice, and then I got a phone call from him 2 days ago saying that he was asked to leave his church.
Oh, really?
Because he publicly supports me. Yeah.
Ooh, how sad. How sad.
It is sad.
But that's what discrimination is. Just...
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know how you deal with this, because I can't, I'm already not able to handle it, and I've only been dealing with it for for a minute. And I said, well, that's, maybe God put you in that position so you know.
And the way he's dealing with it, was he brought you to church. You know, it's like, what more do some people want? But okay, you know, that's just unbelievable that kind of thing happens still. But isn't that wonderful to have him, somebody like that, on your side? Knowing that you made such a difference to somebody, and he appreciates it. It's not like you grudgingly brought him to your side. He really appreciates what you've done.
I think so. And his church told him, if you discontinue your support of Jen, then you know you're welcome back to church. And he said, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, he'll find another church.
Well, exactly. And like I said, that's a heck of a change mm-hmm. for him. And his wife has told me, she's like, I don't know how you did it. I've been trying to change him for years.
Well,
so yeah. It's just amazing.
Change does happen. And it could even happen in the Boy Scouts. How long do you think it'll be before the Boy Scouts change their policy? Not if, but when?
Well, if I have anything to do with it, I'm going to speed it along. But you never know. I mean, it's so hard to tell. This mm-hmm. has been such a stubborn organization. It will change. It will change, or I think that, you know, people are going to start to realize, and they already kind of have, maybe pull their kids out of Scouts and just stop supporting this organization that treats people this way. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to band together and just, you know, if you're not going to support us as a whole, then we're not going to support you.
Right.
So,
well, Jen, I would really want to thank you for being with us. We are completely out of time right now.
Thank you very much.
And keep in touch. If you're down here again to deliver the next 100,000 petitions, we'll see you when you're back down here.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
And we'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly.